before we dive in this morning, let's go to the Father, and I will I'll give everybody an update on Gary. Let's do that afterwards when we just take prayer requests as a whole. So we'll just do it that way. Father, Lord, as we study this evening, Father, it is my prayer that we do so out of reverence for you, Father. Father, that I ask that you speak through me this evening, Father, that you would speak to all of us, Father. Father, have your way in this place tonight. Father, it's my prayer, Father, that when we leave this place, that we leave looking more like your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right, so I must begin this evening. Is there some, like, reverb with that? Is that all right? I don't know. I must begin this evening with a slight confession. We're going to be talking about the humanity of Jesus tonight. But the reason this came to me and we're talking about this is because I recently was in a coffee shop trying to have a conversation with somebody, and at the table next to me, there were two people sitting having a conversation about Jesus and sin and Jesus' humanity. So much so that I couldn't focus on the conversation that I was supposed to be having. And I wanted so badly to walk over there and sit down and be like, hey, can I join in on this? But I didn't. So The purpose for tonight is twofold. I hope that it's helpful for those who don't have a good or full understanding on the humanity of Jesus, Jesus being 100% man. And I also hope that this helps us have future conversations with people as we witness to them. Jesus being 100% man and 100% God is a very difficult thing for us to grasp. If you want to lay in bed at night and not go to sleep, think about that, or think about the Trinity. It's a difficult thing. So that's the goal for tonight. But before we do dive in to talk about the humanity of Jesus, Jesus being 100% man, I do understand this. Like, we're going to cover specifically that. But while we do so, keep in mind, we are not taking away from the fact that he is also 100% God. He is 100% God, and he is 100% man. So while we're focusing on one aspect of that, we're not taking away from the other. So here we go. Before we dive into the humanity, I think it's important to answer the question, well, why did Jesus come in the first place? And we won't dive in it too much because we could spend months and months on that. So just some of the proper answers to that. There are many answers to that question. Why did Jesus come? Many answers that are right, but just a few real quick. Came because he loved the world. John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Whosoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. He came because he loved the world. He came to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. It's Luke 4:43. But he, Jesus, said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. He also came to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save us. He came to save sinners. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So what Paul wrote to Timothy is 1 Timothy 1:15. He came to serve and to give his life, Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to reveal the Father, Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In all of those answers are correct. And we could stack 50 more on top of that. But if someone came and said, all right, why did Jesus come? You only get to give me one reason. Like one reason, one sentence, why did Jesus come? The answer to that would be for the glory of God. Because every single one of those things that I just, every single one of those passages, those verses that we just read, and every single correct one that we could put within that list falls under God getting glory. He is glorified in all of that. That's why he came. And I think when it comes to wrestling with and thinking about the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ, it's difficult for us to do that without allowing the pendulum to swing from one side or the other, if you will. 100% God, 100% man. Jesus is both. And we don't say he was both. He is still now, at this very moment, he still is 100% God, and he still is 100% man. He is both. But oftentimes, I think that one of the things that we struggle with is because so many people, especially in America, attack the deity of Jesus. That's what we end up defending the most. And sometimes in doing that, we take the humanity of Jesus and kind of set it to the side, if you will. ...100% God and 100% man. Still, he is. Acts 1:10 through 11. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This is Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven. He will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus did not lose his humanity. He's still 100% man. Now, one of the reasons it's hard to grasp that, just Jesus is 100% man, he's fully man, but he didn't sin. Fully man, didn't sin. And one of the reasons it's so difficult for people to understand that, think about that, grasp that, is because they don't have an understanding of what it truly means to be fully human. And I'll explain that. The reason is because we equate humanity with sin and sin with humanity. We automatically do that. And we do it because of original sin or inherited sin, whichever one you want to put in, whichever one you want to use to fill in the blank. Typically, we generally think about sin when we think about humanity. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 through 14, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But see, sin isn't just an action or actions that we do that fail to abide by God's moral law. It is that, but it's much more. Sin is a person's moral nature. Before we're redeemed with Christ, that is our moral nature. We are born with it. We are born with a bent towards sin. Meaning this, we want to sin. You can try to argue against that all day long. We're born that way. We inherited it. Right now I have blue eyes. Tomorrow if I put a green shirt on, my eyes will be greenish. I don't have a choice on whether my eyes were blue when I was born. I was born that way. See, the issue that we come against is there's sometimes people try to argue that Jesus, he can't be 100% God and he can't be 100% man because he never sinned, because all men sin. Like, that's the argument that people try to make, but there's a huge, huge flaw in that argument. There's a huge flaw in it. A man outside of Jesus Christ is not fully man. And you're like, what? Now don't go run around telling people that, because you'll get into some locker room banter. Like, don't, because you're going to have some guy be like, I'll show you a man. I'm going to go there. But let me explain. Man, outside of Jesus, is broken and dead in his sin, in both his actions and his moral nature. Remember, we inherit it. We're born that way. And that's something that we have to remember when we're witnessing to the world. Like, understanding that and remembering that helps us show grace to others when the sin action of others hurt. But sin is not fundamental to what it means to be fully human. Sin is not fundamental to what it means to be fully human. Think about this. If we weren't created to experience sin, that's not why we were created. To say that we were created to experience sin is to say that we were created to be separated from our Creator. That makes sense. We weren't designed to experience sin. We weren't created to experience heartache, suffering, pain, death. All of that stuff is a result of sin. Think about, if you've ever lost a loved one, raise your hand. It hurts. It hurts. And oftentimes the question is, well, why did this happen? And that might be a very valid question. But I think that even a bigger question is, why do you think it hurts so bad? It points to the fact that you were created by God Almighty and you were created in His image, but we weren't created to be separated from Him. That's why it hurts so bad. We weren't created to feel it in the first place. So in order to understand what it means to be fully human, we can't start with the fall in Genesis 3. You have to start in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When Adam was created, he didn't have a bent towards sin. There was perfect communion with the Father. Fully, fully man. There wasn't any brokenness there. And then after we understand what it means to be fully man, then we go to the virgin birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is fully God and fully man because of the virgin birth. He's born without a bent towards sin. He's born without a moral bent towards sin. He's born spotless. He's born without corruption. Jesus, he didn't wrestle with his flesh like we wrestle with our flesh. So if that's the case, and it is, the big question is this. Can Jesus truly sympathize with us if he never sinned? That's a big question. But we answer that question with a resounding yes. Jesus completely sympathizes with us, but he does so without sin. See, that the temptation that Jesus faced came from the outside. He didn't have an intimate knowledge with sin on the inside like we do. He wasn't born with a bent towards sin. He never wanted to sin in the first place. Oh, how amazing that must be. Jesus can drive down Millage Avenue in the fall, gentlemen, and not have a problem at all. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we ask ourselves, how in the world can he sympathize with us if he didn't sin? Grudem says this. The complete absence of sin in the life of Jesus is all the more remarkable because of the severe temptations he faced, not only in the wilderness, but throughout his life. There is no way that we can experience the severity of that because of our nature. We're too weak. I mean, just think about the times you've been tempted to sin. And eventually, the temptation gets so weighty that you cave and you break. Just think about that. We don't understand what it felt like to never cave to that because we haven't reached that level, if that makes sense. We break. We cave. We can't handle it. We can't handle the weight of it on top of us. It comes to a point where it's too heavy. Jesus never caved. He never sinned. He took everything that was thrown his way. And not one ounce did he sin. He didn't do it. Which means he faced the full effect of temptation on him. So why is it so important for us to understand the humanity of Jesus? One, fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Two, the humanity of Jesus Christ gives evidence to his deity. The miraculous life of Jesus, the fact that in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin, gives evidence to the fact that he is 100% God. Points to his deity. Because he is 100% man, he has set the perfect example for us. The humanity of Christ, the character of our Lord and Savior, his perfect and sinless life sets the example in which we should live our life. The example couldn't have been and wouldn't have been set if he were not 100% man. First Peter 2:17-23, and this is a little long one. It says, "Honor everyone. Love the neighbor, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." But there's something about that. See, in his humanity, Jesus resisted. He fought temptation with the same resources that you have and that I have. He did it with the word. He did it through prayer. And he did it through the power of the Spirit. For he sympathizes with us. That's a huge. Because here's the deal. Only those who have experienced the same pain as somebody else can truly sit down and sympathize with them. Only those who experience the same pain as someone can truly help them and sympathize with them. Jesus can do that. He does that. Five, to understand the cost that was paid. See, we cannot take the humanity of Jesus and set it aside, because the penalty for sin required suffering in both body and soul. Hebrews 2:14-15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus is the gospel. Gospel isn't, it's not a mere concept. It's not a bunch of thoughts. Jesus is the gospel is the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus, 100% God, and 100%, he's fully man as well. If Jesus wasn't fully man, then we don't have the gospel. The price wouldn't have and couldn't have been paid if Jesus wasn't 100% man. When we have conversations with people, people need to know. They have to know. They must know that Jesus, our Savior and our King, one 100% sympathizes with them in their pain. So as hard as it is to get people to understand that, as hard as it is for us to grasp that, I told Shannon I wasn't gonna say this tonight. You want to stay awake? Like, all right, so lay in bed tonight and think to yourself, well, could Jesus have really sinned? And we can go there if you want. I've got an answer for you. But here's where we can leave that too. Even though we don't understand something, or just because somebody doesn't understand something doesn't take the validity away from it. Feel free to join me on Sunday night and teach the Trinity to a bunch of teenagers across the parking lot. See how that one goes. At the end of the day, sometimes we have to say, I don't know. I don't get it. But there's beauty in that too, because if I understood all of it, then God wouldn't be God. Limited. He's not. So, well, let's let's take some prayer requests, and then I don't have questions up on slides, but I do want to break up into groups after we take some prayer requests. And here's what I want you to think about or talk about. When you think about both the deity and the humanity of Jesus, when you think about both, because you can't have just one, does your pendulum tend to swing one way or the other? And then why is it so important that that pendulum be balanced right in the center? Jesus isn't more God than he is man, and he's not more man than he is God. He's 100% God. 100% man.